from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, yeah, halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Lovely to be here with all of you. Beloved tier ones out there. And yeah, I always get the question, how do I become a tier one? Very easy. There's no form or anything you got to fill out. There's no donation.
Send $100.
Venmo us. Yeah, $100. Yeah. And you're in.
You're all the way
in. Four easy payments.
All you got to do is listen. Yeah. And then tell your friends if you like the show. That's it. The word of mouth has been great for this show because we've never had one marketing nickel. So you guys are actually the ones responsible for our success. Not us. Not us at all. You guys telling your friends, hey, listen to Ben and Woods. It's great. It's great. If we ever did have a billboard or anything like that or a painting promoting us, I hope actually it doesn't look like the one that was hanging in the foyer of our old building. It's something that's like a tradition there, and they've been doing it forever. And I was so honored to work at that station and have my own picture.
I think it's in the Louvre now.
And then they painted Ben, and he was a bigger guy
fat.
Back then.
I look fat. Let's just be clear.
How did you gain all the weight?
Oh, my Lord. And then there's our old executive producer in the middle of us. And then
he looks great.
He's
he
suit and tie. He looks sharp.
Weird how that worked.
And then there's your old pal Woods, who apparently
yeah, that's not Paulie.
No, apparently I just went like four rounds with Conor McGregor, who smashed my face in, and I mean it is. It is a really bad representation of me. And I no offense to this person that painted it. Maybe you were in a hurry. That's the only thing I can think of, because I look like
did
ass.
They go to the San Diego County Fair and have one of those guys, the caricature
quick sketch drawers?
Yeah.
What happened to my nose? I don't have that nose.
No, that's not your nose. That's someone else's nose.
Somebody says, Ben looks very happy. Yeah, he's fat and happy. Fat and happy back then.
Do you have a crustache there? Or what's going on?
Yeah, there's a bit of the facial hair. You got the double chin down.
You would not have let you massage your wife.
No, 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 no. That is real. Paulie's now zooming in on it. I mean, it is just, it's the nose that really was.
I mean, I'm tipping the scales at least 370. Give that picture.
When your eyes are like really close together.
They are. Beady.
They're beady.
Beady eyes.
Yes.
It's not what you look like.
You don't have beady eyes.
No, you do not.
This is pre-glasses.
Yeah, that was in the receptionist area when you walked into the station.
First thing
you
saw.
If you were a guest, if you were there to pick up a prize, and they had them all on the wall, framed. They looked good.
Yeah, there's Darren Smith.
Jim Rome, Scott and BR. Everybody looked great.
I'm hanging with these legends up here. This is amazing for me.
Now,
I can't believe then the unveiling happens. And I felt like what was it, Ronaldo? When he saw his, was it Ronaldo's statue that does not
look, yes, does not look at all, yes, like him? Yeah.
And that thing went on the wall, and I, yeah, went, oh.
Everyone's saying my hair looks good, and it does.
Hair does look good. Yeah. I just...
Get the old blue Padres handle.
Yeah, man.
Now, when that station went under, it's kind of a free-for-all. Everybody grabbed a bunch of stuff.
Craig Elston literally walked out with, like, microphones. And I remember, he's like, hey, look what I got.
Storage unit.
Like, what is going on? I didn't know that we could just take stuff.
But before all that went down, my girl Elaine was, like, the office manager.
Loved Elaine.
She was
sweet angel.
She pulled me aside and said, hey, I have something that you might want. You remember the guy that we replaced at this station.
Yeah, yeah.
And at this station.
Yep.
Maybe he can get the job at the number one station in LA or New York or something. Like,
I don't,
high
want,
paying
to, I don't
gig.
Want to move, though.
I know, but he falls up and we come in and replace him.
It's true.
She had his horrible caricature painting.
It was the greatest.
And I took it.
And you have it.
And I still have
you
it.
You still have it?
It's in storage. And my wife goes, get rid of that. I said, absolutely
never,
not. Never.
Never.
I'll get rid of you before I,
yeah,
get rid of 100%. That.
100%. It's you or him. And
it's a family heirloom.
It really is.
I could sell that for $4.
Yeah.
Are you,
yeah,
kidding me?
I bought his autograph on eBay. It was $3, I think. We hung it here in the studio. Yeah, that is a rough look.
Before we move on, and I do want to talk a little bit more about last night's Padres game. They always tell us in radio, teasing is important.
Yes.
Like, what's coming up next? Keep them hanging on the edge of their seat. There's also something called horizontal teasing, where you tease what's going to be happening tomorrow at the same time. Like yesterday, we told you about Xander Schauffele coming on. I'd like to tease that tomorrow at this time, our show will be over. We will be off the air.
Yeah, I got to hit the microphone. Holy cow.
Because our show will only run until 8:05 tomorrow morning, when we will turn things over to the EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 8:05 a.m. with Sam Levitt for a 9:05 first pitch in the series finale against the Washington Nationals.
Get used to that.
There's your tease for 24 hours from now. We'll be on our way home. How about that for a day that ends at 8:05 a.m.?
I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in on it. How'd your coffee turn out this morning, by the way?
Did you go back?
No, I went to the bigger chain and spent a little bit more to make sure it was actually coffee in my coffee.
No.
If you missed it yesterday, got my McDonald's coffee, but the guy who was filling it up, and I watched him do it, he started filling it up, and then halfway through, I hear him go, oops. And then he moves over to a different spigot and starts filling the rest of my iced coffee up and then just hands it to me. And I realize quickly that half of it is iced tea and half of it is iced coffee.
Such
didn't start
awful,
over.
It's just, an awful combo.
Just gave it to me, and that's what I had yesterday. And I could not go back this morning. So I will go back at some point, but I decided to treat myself today to actual iced espresso, actually.
Coffee.
Yeah.
And you know, the first thing in the chat this morning, the very first comment was, McDonald's guy one. Oh, look, it's that Ben Higgins guy. McDonald's guy two. Throw some cranberry juice in his coffee this morning. They're just going to get you every day. So, hey, listen, man, that's a classic misstep. You know, they made a customer unhappy, and that customer then went to a competitor the next morning for his coffee and actually spent a little bit more money on it. So I can see why you didn't want to go back.
I want to talk about Mike Schilt just for a second here, because we're definitely been learning the personality of the Padres manager.
Have we?
Both in our conversations, but also through the decisions that he makes.
Yeah.
And one thing that has become very clear is that Mike Schilt, when he sees a win, you know, within his grasp, he's going to try to take it.
That's correct.
And it doesn't matter if it's a save situation or not. If he thinks that there's any chance of the other team coming back, he's gonna step on it. And he used his top relievers yesterday, 4-0 game. Did not have any qualms with going with Robert Suarez. And I'm okay with that. Because you can't predict the future. You don't know if you'll need Robert Suarez today or tomorrow. You could have saved him and not pitched him at all and then, you know, had him completely fresh for today. But with the difficulties that the Padres have had in the bullpen beyond their top, I'm going to say three guys.
Three.
Suarez, Estrada, and Morey Holmes.
That's it.
Beyond that, there's really no lead that you feel is that safe.
No.
And you got this chance to win a third in a row, take the first game of the series, winning a series. I'm okay with the decision to just step on their throat and put the best guy in and make sure you win that game. And then you take your chances with the next game tomorrow, today. You know, maybe you're up by 7 this time and you can go with a different option. Or maybe you're down by 3 and you're like, boy, I wish we had used Suarez yesterday when we had a chance to get him some work with a lead. I'm all right with that. But that's clearly part of Mike Schilt's makeup. He sees a win. He does not want to take any chances in letting that win get away.
He doesn't pussyfoot around with it
Jesus
at all.
God.
I got a DM last night from Steve, and he said, is Vasquez on a pitch count? 6 innings, 68 pitches. They pull him or an innings limit? And bring in Suarez in a non-safe situation? What if we need him the next 2 games? Make these pitching decisions make sense. As far as Vasquez goes, guys, he is such a unknown commodity still. And he gave up the double. I have no problem. Because what happens if the next guy yaks one out? That lead's now cut in half. You know what I'm saying? Like,
He had given up, I think, two doubles in his last three batters.
So, yeah. Like, hey, man, let's take this good fortune. Let's send him out on a high note of really doing a great job and hanging a zero on these guys. And let's let the bullpen come in and continue to hang zeros.
Keep in mind, and again, the pitch count was low.
It was.
And if they needed him, I mean, if they were up 8-0,
yeah,
they probably would have just let Vasquez go. But it is the 7th inning. That's the deepest he's ever pitched. And even though it's not that many pitches, it's still up and down 7 times to get out there. And Vasquez does not get a lot of swing and miss. So you can, I think he only struck out one batter the entire game. So you know, a runner on base, the next guy's probably making contact somewhere. Contact could then fall in. It could be soft contact, but you bloop it in. Bring in Maury Hone, you've got a better chance. He gives up almost no hard contact. He gets a lot more swing and miss. Ended up getting out of that inning really quickly. Got the force at third on the base running mistake and the nice play by Kim and Manny, and then quickly got a double play to end the inning. So, you know, I'm sure he's available today if they needed Adrian Maury Hone again with how little he was used yesterday. And you got Randy Vasquez out with a really good feeling, another good start, a confidence builder for him, someone that you're probably going to need to rely on continually down the stretch here, because at this point, he's your fourth starter. Even if you get Musgrove back, or even if you make a trade, he's still 5-6 at best. You're going to see him over the course of the rest of this season, and that was a good outing for Randy Vasquez.
Yeah, and I just don't have a problem with that. What bugs me sometimes is again, it's not a Mike Schilt problem, right? It's not a Mike Schilt problem at all. It's a Yuki Matsui, Austin Davis, Sean Reynolds, and Steven Kolek problem. That's where the issue lies, is that there is not a lot of trust there. And I think for good reason. Now, he has given guys shots in high leverage. He gave Yuki one last Friday against Cleveland, and Yuki got the job done. He gave Yuki another shot the next day in way less high leverage at all. It was very low leverage, and he got the job done. Gave Kolek a shot in high leverage, didn't get the job done. So you're a little bit up against it when you don't. We don't have the Phillies bullpen, Ben. We don't have the Diamondbacks bullpen where you just like every guy comes in throwing 98, you know, with movement. It's just they have what they have for now. That's why the bullpen remains something that's very important to address.
Bill says, yeah, no need to put Suarez in a non-safe situation. Now he can't close if the next 2 games are tight. There's the risk there that they'll have 1-run leads the next 2 days. I'm sure he'd be available for at least one of them.
Absolutely.
I mean, they had a day off on Monday.
Yep.
They just had the All-Star break.
He threw 16 pitches.
If he had to go again today, he could. Now, if he went today, he'd probably be down tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but if he goes today, you feel like you're winning that ball game.
Right, and you've already won the series, and you take your chances. And if he doesn't go today, then obviously he could go on Thursday.
You need some things to break in your favor. You need to put up some numbers to where an Austin Davis, a Sean Reynolds, a Steven Kolek is not going to hurt you tremendously. Last night, I didn't feel it was one of those games. I didn't feel like this team's out of it. We had an 8-run lead against these guys, and they came back on us. Right? Does everybody remember that? So you know,
5, and they had the
tying run at the plate.
The tying run at the plate,
yes.
And they hit one like looked like it was gone.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
So you don't think Mike Schilt remembers? We had an 8-0 lead against these guys. I'm not going to F around with a 4-run lead when I've got these guys rested and healthy, and he won a ball game. Why are we complaining about winning a ball game? You know, he's not. I don't think he's going to put his pitchers in harm's way, right? And if Robert Suarez says I can't go, he's not going to make him go. So again, that eight run lead that they blew is definitely fresh in his mind, as it should be.
What a great
turn all the way through the starting rotation, though. Oh. Four guys. I think I saw after the game the stat was 0.69. ERA since the All-Star break for the starters.
One run in 27 innings,
the last
like
27.
Because they had the eighth inning on Friday. Which
was just for the starters though.
Oh, just starters. Just, yeah.
So Waldron gave up one in, what, seven innings? And then Cease had his gem, and then King had a gem, and now Vasquez with six shutout innings. Yeah. So,
and then since that eighth inning, it was something like
one run on eight hits, I think,
in 26 innings or something ridiculous.
Now, I saw someone in the chat earlier goes, talk about the starting pitching. Yeah, it was really, really good.
It's been really, really good.
Do we think that it's going to continue? I hope so. Is there any reason to think that, okay, now they're good with their number one through four, they just need to find a five? Not yet. The one thing that they still have lacked all season long is consistency.
Yeah. So, you don't want the tractor beam to show up today and
back to the 500
drag
mark,
you know. Back towards 500. You got a really tough series in Baltimore, really tough.
And again, every starting pitcher is going to have clunkers throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one though that breaks the streak. Matt Waldron today is going to, and he has really, really pitched well. Doesn't get any run support. Got another lefty on the bump today. Is that gone away now? The left-handers or the bugaboo? I mean, we scored four runs last night. It feels certainly a little better than it did for a while, where they just could not beat a left-hander. So,
well, you know, I think Donovan Solano has helped. Getting Xander Bogaerts back will help with the lefties. So it's a different lineup.
Was he going to play?
I think he'll play today, would be my guess. Maybe even the next 2 days. We'll talk about that coming up. Let's take a quick timeout. I got some Sebastian Maniscalco tickets to give away. Also, you know what? I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm going to throw us both under the bus.
Oh, this sounds great.
Embarrassing Padres things that you should probably know if
God.
You're a radio host and didn't know.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm embarrassed.
Ben and Woods edition.
I'll wear it.
Coming up next.
It. Oh, God.
After traffic here on 97.3
The Fan.
You
can't be the only ones. You have to be honest with us.
Yeah, you have to promise that we'll admit that you're going to say, I also did not know that. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, it's Ben and Woods Confessions time. I'm not proud of this.
I'm not proud of it either. I'm actually really embarrassed by it, but I'll...
But I would like to know, if you're in our chat and want to chime in on YouTube, or you can tweet us at Ben and Woods, if you were unaware of this as well. Because Woods texted, and I had to nod, and the same thing. When the Padres put the lineup together yesterday, and they had Bryce Johnson out in the outfield, batting ninth, and then he came up to the plate for the first time in, what was that, the third inning, I think?
Yep.
And he was batting from the right side of the plate, not the left side of the plate.
Yeah.
We were both kind of shocked. Did you know he was a switch hitter?
I didn't.
I thought he was a lefty. I thought he was just a lefty.
I thought he was strictly a left-handed bat.
Are we sure that he wasn't just doing some bit or something? I could have sworn that that guy was just a lefty.
I have there's a guy on my team that he's hitting really well, and he'll just sometimes when we're up big, he'll go, I'm going to hit left-handed. And he does that. And I thought, is Bryce Johnson doing a bit right now?
Drew a walk. I mean, didn't really have to swing the bat.
I feel a little better.
Okay, some other people are doing the same thing.
Now, he doesn't. Zach said we don't even know if he's a hitter.
That's a good point.
Fair. I did not know that. You guys don't, you know this about me. My attention span is not great always. It's weird that I like baseball, don't you think? Like, isn't it weird that that's my greatest love is baseball of all things when my attention span is what it is and I'm oftentimes at home, you know, it's bedtime and everything else and it's hard to sit and watch a ball game. And holy smokes, man. I when he walked up there right hand, I go, who's this? I think we even said on the air yesterday, well, Bryce Johnson won't be in the lineup. Who can play right field? Because obviously he's a left-handed hitter. I had no earthly idea.
I'm trying to call up his splits for the season as a versus lefty. Apparently he has 10 at-bats this year versus left-handed pitching when
we missed them all.
He was batting from the right side of the plate. And, I don't remember any of them.
Now that's real.
He doesn't have any hits from the...
No, maybe that's why.
From the right side of the plate. He's an 0-for, 0-0-0 average.
Doesn't have many hits from the left side.
He has walked three times, including once last night, as a right-handed hitter. Which, neither of us were aware of that. I mean, as a lefty, he's batting a robust 182, and as a righty, he's batting a not so robust 0-0-0. Got some good defense, good wheels though, and you know plays defense. Yeah, they need Tatis to get back. I mean, I know you can't rush it because then you're risking even longer term injury with the stress reaction, but. Man, that would be a major upgrade. And Peralta's done a nice job against righties, which is why we haven't seen Bryce Johnson as much lately, since he's been out there. But defensively, you know, David Peralta's not the same player that he used to be, and Johnson does give you that speed in the outfield.
Yeah, there's the latest in the rumor mills. I believe this is from Dennis Lynn's latest. It's the Padres league sources said. Continue to inquire about both hitters and pitchers ahead of the July 30th trade deadline. I could kind of assume...
Players. They're interested in baseball players.
I had assumed it was going to be pitching only, and I don't want to read the tea leaves. Hopefully it's just a big nothing burger. But it says they're interested in the former being the hitters might have something to do with Fernando Tatis Jr.'s uncertain timeline and a possible desire for insurance in case Arise re-aggravates his thumb injury, which I thought he did last night before hitting a home run. Their need for pitchers is well known. So AJ, checking in on both the ball here.
Yeah, I mean, defense. Yeah, you could upgrade with another bat that can play the outfield.
Yes.
But then if Tatis does come back in a month, now you've got a couple players that...
But you also have a couple players that are expendable at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't even gotten Donovan Solano into a game yet,
right,
in the second half of the season. Like, a right-handed hitting right fielder would be decent right now. But then, you know, when Tatis comes back, you really have no spot for that person that you just acquired.
Tatis can DH.
It's a pinch hitter. Yeah, but you already need your DH in the infield every single day.
Yeah, potentially, if everyone's still here.
Or you're sitting in Arise, or you're sitting a Bogarts, or you're sitting a Cronenworth. If everybody's healthy,
yeah,
you need your DH in the infield. So you can't really add another bat that you can get into the lineup.
Oh, but you can. You can add a bat, because a bench, as we know, is still very important in the playoffs, and if you make it to the playoffs, it's important down the stretch. And again,
yeah,
Tatis coming off an injury, how much can he really play? Yeah, so there's a lot of moving pieces to this, but I guess it doesn't surprise me that he's actually searching.
I think a bench is more important for the 162. Once you get to the playoffs, you don't really need much of a bench. I mean...
I don't know about that.
I do. You've got a designated hitter. You're going to keep your best hitters out there.
Yeah.
How many times did Bob Melvin use his backup catcher in the playoffs?
I mean, that's an anomaly. He should have. I don't know what happened.
Zero.
But he absolutely should have.
You're going to play your best players. Occasionally, you've got a platoon guy where you're going to go right and left, and in that sense, you'll use your bench. But once you get to the playoffs, it's very, very rare that you see bench players getting in that much. A pinch runner here or there.
Important.
Yeah, but they have plenty of pinch runners.
Yeah,
they do. That's not the issue right now. But in terms of the bats, there's just not enough. There's not a need for pinch hitters without pitchers hitting anymore. It's just very rare that happens. They're putting in more defensive replacements at the end of the game than offensive replacements.
That's true. That's true.
Let's take a timeout, because Brett Boone is going to join us next. It's a Big League Wednesday, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Talk about everything going on with the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. And some of our best baseball coverage every week comes in the form of our conversations with Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Did you see who he just had on?
Was it Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson. We'll ask him about that and more right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Boone knows baseball. We're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. I'd say Bo Jackson qualifies as a notable name. Brett, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, Bo
Jackson.
Great.
Oh, my God. Never saw anything like that guy. Never saw anything.
Woodsy, I would never just kind of agree with you just for the radio drama.
Sure.
But, you know, when I interviewed Bo, and I knew him as a kid, played against him a little bit when he was rehabbing in the minor leagues. But when I just started thinking back to Bo and I was going over highlights and stuff, I kind of agree with you. I don't think we've seen anything like him.
No.
I mean, he was just a freak of all freaks. And I say that in a very endearing way. But, yeah, he was something, man.
The arm. I mean,
everything.
The hose piece that he had, and he made some of the gnarliest throws. The catch he made in Yankee Stadium where he ran up the freaking wall and ran around it, like – he was a magician.
He was like a cyborg.
Was
like, here's the football. See that white line at the end?
Go get it.
That extends. Go. That's good if you go past that. He was like a man, he was unbelievable.
The speed. And I mean, when he ran into the tunnel all the way through on the touchdown, yeah. I mean,
his presence on the field, it's almost like on the baseball field running the base, it's almost like you heard him run by you. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. He was something pretty darn special.
I asked him
how much money he'd make in the NIL if he was at Auburn right now, and he just started laughing. He said, "I would have never gone pro."
Right. I mean, I heard we were talking about it. I was talking about it with somebody yesterday at my son's baseball practice, and I think the backup. I think Arch Manning with All In this year as the backup at Texas is going to make millions of dollars, like multiple millions of dollars as, you know, the backup, the heir apparent, the incumbent. But that's insane to think about guys like Reggie Bush, Bo Jackson, how great they were, Vince Young, all those guys in college, what they would have made. It is
Dion.
Dion. Oh, my God. It is a brave, brave new world out there, Booney.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's awesome. Yeah, did you go? You went to the All-Star game, yeah?
I did not.
Oh, you did not go. I thought you did go. No. Did you watch it?
I was going. I wasn't going. Ended up not going. I ended up having an event in Seattle. So, no, I didn't do the All-Star. You know, I caught bits and pieces of it. I'm a bits and pieces All-Star guy. You know, the Home Run Derby, and, you know, I'm a bits and pieces guy. I did find something. It finally came clear. I said, well, how are these BP pitchers throwing such good strikes? They're throwing from like 4 feet.
Yeah.
It's like overhand soft toss. And I know those balls in the All-Star game. They're always pumped up pretty good. So, I mean, they're like pinnacles. You're hitting those. So I know, you know, they want the show. I get it. I hit in the Home Run Derbies, and those balls are just jumping. But it's like you're throwing from 4 feet. It seems like it's kind of easy, and it turns into kind of a marathon, and who's got the best cardio,
yeah,
who ends up winning the Home Run Derby. So I think we're out of time. I think it's run its course. It's been entertaining. It's been great. I think we got to change the rules up a little bit. What those rules are, I don't know. I'll leave that to the nerds. I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, to Ben.
Well, I had my idea for the All-Star game to change up the rules this week was, now that the American and National League distinctions are kind of lost with interleague play and you don't really feel like you're playing that much for your league anymore, I thought it would be very interesting to divide the game by age and have like the young players under 28 against the older players over 28. And I thought that might ramp up the stakes a little bit, because veterans would not want to get shown up by the young guys, and the young guys would love to show up the swag and play against the vets in the All-Star game.
Well, how about this? How about the unis? Let's talk about the
unis. Okay. Well, that's everyone agrees on that, Brett. Everybody.
No,
terrible.
No, but it's, do you remember the old commercials, the less filling?
Yeah, Bob Uecker, tastes great.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the Uecker or Rodney Dangerfield. Yep. That's what those unis look like. Because I'm all, you know, I got kids now. I'm the traditional. I love the whites at home. I love the grays on the road. I didn't like the alternative uniforms. I didn't feel good in them. But I've come around a little bit. I like kind of some of the new unis I'm seeing, some of the new look for 2024. I think it's cool. The All-Star game, you're pushing the envelope, guys. You're losing me now. You're losing my progressiveness. I'm pulling back on you. Get rid of those. I know everybody doesn't like them, but I've been trying to roll with Major League Baseball and their new way. I couldn't roll with that one.
They make it difficult sometimes, Booney. I'm with you 100%. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and they can make it. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle of traditionalist, and I like a lot of the new stuff as well. But man, it trade deadline is something that we can count on every single year. Being a part of the Padres team, essentially, nobody is safe. You know, I mean, you got to be feeling, if you're a prospect right now, you're probably a little bit on pins and needles. If you are a couple of guys in that clubhouse, you're probably a little nervous about what could happen in a week or so. AJ Preller's always super active. Your thoughts on the Padres, what they need to do and what they will do?
You got to go out and get some pitching. You know, you got to go get some pitching. I don't worry that much. Tatis, to me, you need to have him back. You need to have a healthy Tatis. I know he's starting to do baseball activities now. But you need a healthy Tatis. You get him, couple him with the veteran Machado and the rest of that team. I think the offense is fine. I wouldn't mind seeing them going out and adding a bullpen piece as well.
Yep.
You know, Suarez at the end of that line is pretty darn good. But I'd like to see him add a bullpen piece. I think this is a playoff team. I think this is a team that can go deep in the playoffs. And I think with that roster in place right now, you got to go out and really add. You know, offensively, I think you're fine. It wouldn't be a big deal to me if you didn't add anything offensive, but you got to go add maybe a starting pitcher, and you got to add a piece in that bullpen with the up in the air of Darvish and Musgrove. So I think you got to definitely add a piece there. As far as the division, no. You know the interesting thing around baseball, it's not just the Padres. It's every fan base, every team. Are we going to add? Are we buyers? Are we sellers? If you look at the landscape, there's so many teams at this stage with them moving that trading deadline to 2 months versus 1 month. There are so many teams still. There's so much parity. There are so many teams still in it. There are very few that you can say, "Oh, we're sellers. We're out of it." Yeah, there's the bottom teams that everybody kind of knows. Hey, it's over for you. But never has there been so much parity. So many teams that possibly could be buyers at the deadline, where the inventory is going to be down. You know, everybody wants Skubal, maybe a Crochet from the Chicago White Sox. But, you know, if you look at the big offensive piece, the Vladimir Guerrero, that could be a viable piece that could be added. I look at him. But outside of that, who are the big difference maker offensive guys that could possibly be available at the deadline? Maybe a Robert from Chicago. Yep. But how much do you trust his health? You know, he's been a guy that's proven he can't stay on the field. So maybe he looks great. He doesn't look so great because you don't know if you can count on him. So it's going to be interesting at this deadline. A lot of buyers, not that many sellers. And the guys that are sellers don't have that much to sell. I think you look to the Blue Jays, though, from a perspective. They're talking about keeping that group intact for another year. I don't think so. I think when push comes to shove, everybody's available on that team. Vladdy being the shiniest object. But you got a Gausman. You got a Berrios. You got a Kikuchi. And guys like that, a Bassett in that starting rotation, that could be a good fit for a lot of teams down the stretch.
Our Odyssey Insider Call with Brett Boone is brought to you by Grainger. And Brett, I wanted to ask, what was your experience with the trade deadline like as a player? Whether your name, you know, up in rumors, certainly teammates that you had that were dealt or new teammates coming in, any stories from the deadline you have to share with us?
Well, I think as a player, you know, I was never really worried that I was going anywhere at the trade deadline, but it was always pins and needles for, I know we've got a really good team this year. You know, I'm doing a hypothetical. We've got a really good team, and I wonder what ownership's going to do. It's amazing the shot of adrenaline that can be pumped into that clubhouse. If that front office and your ownership group gets behind you and goes and makes a splash at the trading deadline, it can turn that clubhouse from what are we going to do here to wow. The big boys, the guys upstairs, they got our back. That can be a difference maker at the trading deadline. I've been on three or four real contending playoff teams, and the years that we went for it definitely gave us a rush in that clubhouse and a feeling like we're all in this together. I've also been on really good teams that at the deadline, we just kind of stood there and stood pat. And it was almost like, well, you know, and 25 guys at the time. Now I know the rosters are 26. We kind of look at each other in that clubhouse and go, guys, I guess we're on our own. You know, we're going to do it without management. So it can really be a difference maker from a psychological standpoint for the guys on that roster, those 26 guys down there. You make a move, whether you stand pat or heaven forbid, if you sell at the trading deadline when you're still in the hunt, man, that's a real quandary where you go, wow, management, I guess they're telling us what they think of us right now. They don't believe in it. So it can be a psychological positive or a psychological negative that I don't think anybody really ever factors in.
Well, we will definitely be keeping our eye on all the news over the next now 6 days until the trade deadline next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And Brett, I'm sure we'll catch up with you again maybe next week right after the trade deadline to get your reaction to all of it. Appreciate it as always.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, brother.
There he is, Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Check out the Brett Boone podcast in the Odyssey app. His latest guest, of course, Bo Jackson this week. And, yeah, I mean, we know that's what they always say. You know, player comes in, trade deadline, shot of adrenaline, injection, we're really going for it. Padres have been there. couple of times, and you see what happens. I mean, when Juan Soto arrived, one of the most electric days, at least in Padres history, right?
Yep.
And then the first game when
Brandon Drury
hit the grand slam, and I mean,
I was like, we're never losing again.
There was really a thought that the Padres might go something like 58-2 down the stretch on their way to winning the World Series.
It was like, yeah, I'll never forget it. As long
it was
as
one
I
of the most fun like 36 hours ever. Like the three of us that morning, just refreshing every
just
10
silent
seconds,
in silence. By the
just
way,
just waiting. I mean, every insider pretty much had it at one point. Yeah. Like it's done deal. But we're like, nope, not until passing.
It's elite.
But ultimately, that shot of adrenaline, or even the disappointment, it wanes, and you still have to then just go and play baseball down the stretch.
The high was around for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then we got the Tatis suspension news.
Yeah.
Because that was the other part of it. We're like, oh, we just traded for Juan Soto and Tatis is coming back next week? Like, it's over.
It's over. It was over for all of you. Hmm. What might have been is, it's hard to lament. It's not hard to lament, but, you know, nothing we can do about it now. You know, the pieces that A.J. Preller goes out and tries to acquire, you know, look, man, it's not rocket science. It's got to be the right guys, and the health of this team moving forward is what's ultimately going to propel them into a postseason berth or not. I mean, the guys got to stay healthy. They got to produce. They got some really tough games coming up. They have a stretch. I saw somebody made the point yesterday. There's a stretch in late August, Benny, that is just nasty, as you can imagine. So it's going to be a tough road. Win today. Win today, you win a series.
Got Open champion Xander Schauffele coming up in about 30 minutes. Before we get to the top of the hour, though, I still have those Sebastian Maniscalco tickets to give away. If you want to win them, let's do it right now. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco coming to Viejas Arena on August 16th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win a pair by being the third caller right now. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Win a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco coming to Viejas Arena on August 16th next month. Less than a month away.
Yeah.
Year is moving quickly.
It is.
Padres now have less than 60 games remaining. 59 games left. Less than the shortened season. They have a season like they did in 2020. What do they go? I want to say 37-23. That'll get it done.
That'll get it done.
No problem. They do 36-23, let's say, over the last 59 games. That would leave them 16 games above 500, which would be like 89 wins. Easy into the playoffs there. You don't even probably need to be that good.
Right.
That would be their pace, a little under their pace from the 2020 shortened season.
It is right there in front of you. This season, by the way, last season was the most draggy season of all time. This season is flying by. I'd like to continue at this frenetic pace.
It is, but I heard Mudd saying, doesn't it feel like Korea was like 6 months ago?
No, for me.
You think it was just not that long ago.
This season has flown by. You know why? Because it's been a pretty enjoyable product to watch. It really has. It's been a pretty enjoyable product filled with really good moments, and so many more than last season. Last season was excruciating.
And less excruciating moments. They've had a couple bad losses, not like...
Of course. Which, I mean, if you're a baseball like fan, you're used to that. You know, you're totally used to that.
I mean, just the abundance of one-run losses and extra inning losses last year. I mean, they were 0-what? Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. And some of our best baseball coverage every week comes in the form of our conversations with Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Did you see who he just had on?
Was it Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson. Really? We'll ask him about that and more right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Boone knows baseball. We're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. I'd say Bo Jackson qualifies as a notable name. Brett, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, Bo
Jackson. Oh, my God. Never saw anything like that guy. Never saw anything.
Woodsy, I would never just kind of agree with you just for the radio drama.
Sure.
But you know, when I when I interviewed Bo, and I knew him as a kid, played against him a little bit when he was rehabbing in the minor leagues. But when I just started thinking back to Bo and I was going over highlights and stuff, I kind of agree with you. I don't think we've seen anything like him.
No.
I mean, he was just a freak of all freaks. And I say that in a very endearing way. But, yeah, he was something, man.
The arm. I mean, the hose piece that he had, and he made some of the gnarliest throws. The catch he made in Yankee Stadium where he ran up the freaking wall and ran around it, like, he was a magician.
Yeah, he was like a cyborg.
Yeah.
Like, here's the football. See that white line at the end?
Go get it.
Extends. Go. That's good if you go past that. He was like a... Man, he was unbelievable.
The speed. When he ran into the tunnel all the way through on the touchdown, yeah. I mean, wow.
His presence on the field, it's almost like on the baseball field running the base, it's almost like you heard him run by you. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. He was something pretty darn special.
I asked him
how much money he'd make in the NIL if he was at Auburn right now, and he just started laughing. He said, "I would have never gone pro."
Right. I mean, I heard we were talking about it. I was talking about it with somebody yesterday at my son's baseball practice, and I think the backup. I think Arch Manning with All In this year as the backup at Texas is going to make millions of dollars, like multiple millions of dollars as, you know, the backup, the heir apparent, the incumbent. But that's insane to think about guys like Reggie Bush, Bo Jackson, how great they were, Vince Young, all those guys in college, what they would have made. It is...
Dion.
Dion. Oh, my God. It is a brave, brave new world out there, Booney.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's awesome. Yeah, did you go... You went to the All-Star game, yeah?
I did not.
Oh, you did not go. I thought you did go. No. Did you watch it?
I was going. I wasn't going. Ended up not going. I ended up having an event in Seattle. So, no, I didn't do the All-Star. You know, I caught bits and pieces of it. I'm a bits and pieces All-Star guy. The home run derby, and, you know, I'm a bits and pieces guy. I did find something. It finally came clear. I said, well, how are these BP pitchers throwing such good strikes? They're throwing from like 4 feet.
Yeah,
it's like overhand soft toss. With and I know those balls in the All-Star game. They're always pumped up pretty good. So I mean, they're like pinnacles. You're hitting those. So I know. You know, they want the show. I get it. I hit in the home run derbies, and those balls are just jumping. But it's like you're throwing from 4 feet. It seems like it's kind of easy, and it turns into kind of a marathon, and who's got the best cardio?
Yeah.
Who ends up winning the home run derby. So I think we're out of time. I think it's run its course. It's been entertaining. It's been great. I think we got to change the rules up a little bit. What those rules are, I don't know. I'll leave that to the nerds. I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, to Ben.
Well, I had my idea for the All-Star game to change up the rules this week was, now that the American and National League distinctions are kind of lost with interleague play and you don't really feel like you're playing that much for your league anymore, I thought it would be very interesting to divide the game by age and have like the young players under 28 against the older players over 28. And I thought that might ramp up the stakes a little bit because veterans would not want to get shown up by the young guys, and the young guys would love to show up the swag and play against the vets in the All-Star game.
Well, how about this? How about the unis? Let's talk about the
unis. Okay. Well, that's everyone agrees on that, Brett. Everybody.
No, but it's, do you remember the old commercials, the less filling?
Yeah, Bob Uecker tastes great.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the Uecker or Rodney Dangerfield.
Yep.
That's what those unis look like. Because I'm all, you know, I got kids now. I'm the traditional. I love the whites at home. I love the grays on the road. I didn't like the alternative uniforms. I didn't feel good in them. But I've come around a little bit. I like kind of some of the new unis I'm seeing, some of the new look for 2024. I think it's cool. The All-Star game, you're pushing the envelope, guys. You're losing me now. You're losing my progressiveness. I'm pulling back on you. Get rid of those. I know everybody doesn't like them, but I've been trying to roll with Major League Baseball and their new way. I couldn't roll with that one.
They make it difficult sometimes, Booney. I'm with you 100%. Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and they can. They can make it. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle of traditionalist, and I like a lot of the new stuff as well. But, man, it trade deadline is something that we can count on every single year. Being a part of the Padres team, essentially, nobody is safe. You know, I mean, you got to be feeling, if you're a prospect right now, you're probably a little bit on pins and needles. If you are a couple of guys in that clubhouse, you're probably a little nervous about what could happen in a week or so. AJ Preller's always super active. Your thoughts on the Padres, what they need to do and what they will do?
You got to go out and get some pitching. You know, you got to go get some pitching. I don't worry that much. Tatis, to me, you need to have him back. You
yes.
need to have a healthy Tatis. I know he's starting to do baseball activities now. But you need a healthy Tatis. You get him, couple him with the veteran Machado and the rest of that team. I think the offense is fine. I wouldn't mind seeing them going out and adding a bullpen piece as well.
Yep.
You know, Suarez at the end of that at the end of that line is pretty darn good. But I'd like to see him add a bullpen piece. I think this is a playoff team. I think this is a team that can go deep in the playoffs. And I think with that roster in place right now, you got to go out and really add. You know, offensively, I think you're fine. I wouldn't. It wouldn't be a big deal to me if you didn't add anything offensive, but you got to go add maybe a starting pitcher, and you got to add a piece in that bullpen with the up in the air of Darvish and Musgrove. So I think you got to definitely add a piece there. As far as the division, no. You know the interesting thing around baseball, it's not just the Padres. It's every fan base, every team. Are we going to add? Are we buyers? Are we sellers? If you look at the landscape, there's so many teams at this stage with them moving that trading deadline to 2 months versus 1 month. There are so many teams still. There's so much parity. There are so many teams still in it. There are very few that you can say, "Oh, we're sellers. We're out of it." Yeah, there's the bottom teams that everybody kind of knows. Hey, it's over for you. But never has there been so much parity. So many teams that possibly could be buyers at the deadline, where the inventory is going to be down. You know, everybody wants Skubal, maybe a Crochet from the Chicago White Sox. But, you know, if you look at the big offensive piece, the Vladimir Guerrero, that could be a viable piece that could be added. I look at him. But outside of that, who are the big difference maker offensive guys that could possibly be available at the deadline? Maybe a Robert from Chicago,
yep.
But how much do you trust his health? You know, he's been a guy that's proven he can't stay on the field. So, maybe he looks great. He doesn't look so great because you don't know if you can count on him. So it's going to be interesting at this deadline. A lot of buyers, not that many sellers. And the guys that are sellers don't have that much to sell. I think you look to the Blue Jays, though, from a perspective. They're talking about keeping that group intact for another year. I don't think so. I think when push comes to shove, everybody's available on that team. Vladdy being the shiniest object. But you got a Gausman. You got a Berrios. You got a Kikuchi. And guys like that, a Bassett in that starting rotation, that could be a good fit for a lot of teams down the stretch.
Our Odyssey Insider Call with Brett Boone is brought to you by Grainger. And Brett, I wanted to ask, what was your experience with the trade deadline like as a player? Whether your name, you know, up in rumors, you certainly teammates that you had that were dealt or new teammates coming in. Any stories from the deadline you have to share with us?
Well, I think as a player, you know, I was never really worried that I was going anywhere at the trade deadline, but it was always pins and needles I know we've got a really good team this year. You know, I'm doing a hypothetical. We've got a really good team, and I wonder what ownership's going to do. It's amazing the shot of adrenaline that can be pumped into that clubhouse. If that front office and your ownership group gets behind you and goes and makes a splash at the trading deadline, it can turn that clubhouse from a, what are we going to do here to wow. The big boys, the guys upstairs, they got our back. That can be a difference maker at the trading deadline. I've been on three or four real contending playoff teams, and the years that we went for it definitely gave us a rush in that clubhouse and a feeling like we're all in this together. I've also been on really good teams that at the deadline, we just kind of stood there and stood pat, and it was almost like, well, you know, 25 guys at the time. Now I know the rosters are 26. We kind of look at each other in that clubhouse and go, guys, I guess we're on our own. You know, we're going to do it without management. So it can really be a difference maker from a psychological standpoint for the guys on that roster, those 26 guys down there. You make a move, whether you stand pat or heaven forbid, if you sell at the trading deadline when you're still in the hunt, man, that's a real quandary where you go, wow, management, I guess they're telling us what they think of us right now. They don't believe in it. So it can be a psychological positive or a psychological negative that I don't think anybody really ever factors in.
Well, we will definitely be keeping our eye on all the news over the next now 6 days until the trade deadline next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And Brett, I'm sure we'll catch up with you again maybe next week right after the trade deadline to get your reaction to all of it. Appreciate it as always.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, brother.
There he is, Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Check out the Brett Boone podcast in the Odyssey app. His latest guest, of course, Bo Jackson this week. And, we know that's what they always say. You know, player comes in, trade deadline, shot of adrenaline, injection, we're really going for it. Padres have been there. Couple of times, and you see what happens. I mean, when Juan Soto arrived, one of the most electric days, at least in Padres history, right?
Yep.
And then the first game when
Brandon Drury
hit the grand slam, and I mean,
I was like, we're never losing again.
There was really a thought that the Padres might go something like 58-2 down the stretch
on their way to
winning the World Series.
It was like, yeah, I'll never forget it. As long
it was
as
one
I
of
live.
The most fun, like, 36 hours ever. Like, the three of us that morning, just refreshing every
just
10
silent,
seconds.
In silence, by the
just
way.
Just waiting. I mean, every insider pretty much had it at one point.
Yeah.
Like, it's done deal. But we're like, nope, not until passing.
It's elite.
But ultimately, that shot of adrenaline, or even the disappointment, it wanes, and you still have to then just go and play baseball down the stretch.
The high was around for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then we got the Tatis suspension news.
Yeah.
Because that was the other part of it. We're like, oh, we just traded for Juan Soto and Tatis is coming back next week? Like, it's over.
It's over. It's over for all of you. What might have been is, it's hard to lament. It's not hard to lament, but, you know, nothing we can do about it now. You know, the pieces that A.J. Preller goes out and tries to acquire, you know, look, man, it's not rocket science. It's got to be the right guys, and the health of this team moving forward is what's ultimately going to propel them into a postseason berth or not. I mean, the guys got to stay healthy. They got to produce. They got some really tough games coming up. They have a stretch. I saw somebody made the point yesterday. There's a stretch in late August, Benny, that is just nasty, as you can imagine. So it's going to be a tough road. Win today. Win today, you win a series.
Got Open champion Xander Schauffele coming up in about 30 minutes. Before we get to the top of the hour, though, I still have those Sebastian Maniscalco tickets to give away. If you want to win them, let's do it right now. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco coming to Viejas Arena on August 16th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win a pair by being the third caller right now, 833-288-0973. Win a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco coming to Viejas Arena on August 16th next month. Less than a month away.
Yeah.
Year is moving quickly.
It is.
Padres now have less than 60 games remaining. 59 games left. Less than the shortened season. They have a season like they did in 2020. What do they go? I'll say 37-23. That'll get it done. No problem. They do 36-23, let's say, over the last 59 games. That would leave them 16 games above 500, which would be like 89 wins. Easy into the playoffs there.
In.
You don't even probably need to be that good.
Right.
That would be their pace, a little under their pace from the 2020 shortened season.
It is right there in front of you. This season, by the way, last season was the most draggy season of all time. This season is flying by. I'd like to continue at this frenetic pace.
It is, but I heard Mudd saying, doesn't it feel like Korea was like 6 months ago?
No, for me,
it was not that long ago.
This season has flown by. You know why? Because it's been a pretty enjoyable product to watch. It really has. It's been a pretty enjoyable product filled with really good moments, and so many more than last season. Last season was excruciating.
And less excruciating moments. They've had a couple of bad losses, not like...
Of course. Which, I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you're used to that. You know, you're totally used to that.
I mean, just the... abundance of one-run losses and extra-inning losses last year. I mean, they were 0-10 at one point in extra-inning games.
It was also part of it was 9-23 Soto and games. Snell yeah. and Hader. You're like, we're supposed to be so much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so many problems.
Definitely a different feeling. All right, people calling in for Sebastian Maniscalco. Paulie's going to answer some phones and then come back with a Riler report next year on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.